May my speaking and all our thinking be in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. And Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things that he possesseth. What we heard this morning is unique in that it is the only parable Jesus told in which God speaks. God addresses a rich man as thou fool. Initially, you think God calls him a fool because he has not acknowledged his mortality. Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. But as God continues to speak, we learn that the rich man's real folly lies in the fact that he has not been rich towards God. The rich man has been thinking that he has a barn problem. His barns are too small to hold his harvest. However, what he really has is a soul problem. Horatio Gates Spafford was born in Troy, New York, in 1828. His family moved to Chicago, where he became a successful attorney. In 1861, he married Anna Larsen, a stunning Norwegian blonde. They had three girls, Annie, Maggie, and Bessie, and then a boy. They were devout Presbyterians, and Horatio was an elder in his church. The Spaffords were friends and supporters of the famous evangelist Dwight L. Moody, who at that time was living in Chicago. You would call the Spaffords a truly blessed family. In the spring of 1871, they were looking for a safe investment that would provide for them in their retirement and for their children. And they decided to invest most of their wealth into the real estate developments that were taking place north of Chicago, close to Moody's church. Later, in July of that year, Anna gave birth to a fourth daughter, whom they named Tanetta. But then tragedy struck the family. Their four-year-old son contracted pneumonia and died. In October of the same year, the Great Chicago Fire destroyed nearly every real estate investment they owned. Only their faith sustained them. 2 years later, in 1873, Moody was invited to England to conduct an evangelistic crusade. Horatio was working hard to recover from his financial losses, but he thought it would be good to take his family for an extended vacation in England where they could help Moody. He booked passage on the steamship Ville du Havre. At the last minute, he was detained by business, but he insisted that Anna and the four girls go on as planned, and he would meet them later. The oldest girl was 11, and the youngest was 2. They sailed from New York. After a week at sea, the Ville du Havre collided with a Scottish ship, the Loch Earn. The lifeboats had been recently painted, and they stuck to the deck. The masts collapsed, killing a number of passengers. The Ville du Havre sank 12 minutes after the collision. The Loch Earn was itself badly damaged, but launched its lifeboats to look for survivors from the other ship. Few were found. Anna Stafford was rescued unconscious from a piece of driftwood. The girls were all lost. Anna told a pastor who also survived, "God gave me 4 daughters. Now they are taken from me. Someday I will understand why." 9 days later, the survivors landed in Cardiff, Wales. Anna telegraphed her husband, "Saved alone. What shall I do?" Immediately, Horatio left Chicago to bring his wife home. During the Atlantic crossing, the captain called him into his cabin to tell him they were passing over the area where his daughters had drowned. He wrote to his wife's sister, "On Thursday last, we passed over the spot where she went down, in mid-ocean, the waters 3 miles deep. But I do not think of our dear ones there. They are safe, folded in Jesus' arms, dear lambs." And during that same voyage, Horatio Spafford wrote the much-loved Protestant hymn, which is not in our hymn book, "It Is Well With My Soul." Philip Bliss, who composed the music for the hymn, called his tune "Ville du Havre." "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul." After the tragedies that Spafford faced, when once his life had been so blessed, to be able to say, "It is well with my soul," can only be attributed to the fact that he understood that the most important thing in life is to be rich towards God. There is nothing that comes even close to that. I'm grateful for the time that you have allowed me to take for myself over the last 2 weeks. I made 2 trips to Jacksonville, but mostly I spent my staycation riding my new toy, a Kawasaki 4-wheeler, doing barn chores for Cynthia, filing the pile of papers on my desk, walking my dogs, cooking, reading, and simply sitting in my favorite chair. But the question has not been far from me at any time. How is it with my soul? Vacations are time for taking stock. I hope you all take stock. What's the answer God wants from me when I ask myself, how is it with my soul? Think about that for a moment. I think God longs for me to say, it is well with my soul. I am content. I'm at peace with how things are for me. By way of contrast, the rich fool in the parable is not content, and he never will be. He has more than enough things, but they will never suffice until he fixes his soul. He will never be at peace until he fixes his soul. Matthew Henry, the great Bible commentator of the 17th century, concluded his remarks on the parable of the rich fool by saying, "It is the unspeakable folly of the most of men to mind and pursue the wealth of this world more than the wealth of the other world. That which is merely for the body and for time, more than that which is for the soul and eternity." Contentment. Knowing that it is well with one's soul. That is not being self-satisfied, and that is not being complacent. Contentment is not the snooze after a heavy lunch. It is well with your soul when you know that you are forgiven and that you have forgiven others. It is not well with your soul when you're angry. It is well with your soul when you do not have a sense of self-importance. It is well with your soul when you trust and you do not worry. It is well with your soul when your first prayer is thank you and not please. It is well with your soul when you know your purpose and you live it. It is well with your soul when you know the joy of giving, not receiving. It is well with your soul when you know that you are never alone because God is always there. It is well with your soul when you know that any contentment you now experience pales in the light of the contentment that will be. That's what being rich towards God means. Amen.